The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the May-June issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to go to page 8. We're going to go to Who's Who, and this will be our second line. And let's see who has in store for us. Oh, we have Aaron Jackson, Team USA, speed skating. Aaron's height is 5'5". She was born September 19th, 1992, in her hometown is Ocala, Florida. At the Beijing Games in February, Jackson became the first black woman to win a gold medal for the USA in speed skating when she took the 500 meters with a time of 37.04 seconds. A lifelong rollerblader who also competed in roller derby, Jackson made the 2018 Olympic team after just 4 months of skating on ice. Did you know Olympic speed skating events were first held outdoors at the 1988 Games in Calgary, Canada? Next we have Max Verstappen, Red Bull Racing. Max's height is 5'11", his weight is 150 pounds. He was born September 30th, 1997 in his hometown, Hasselt, Belgium. In 2021, Verstappen won his first Formula One championship when he set a record with an 18th podium, top three finishes. He clinched the title with a last lap pass of rival Lewis Hamilton at the final Grand Prix of the year. Verstappen has been with Red Bull since 2016 when he became the youngest driver in F1 history to win a race at the Spanish Grand Prix. But did you know, though he was raised in Belgium near the border of the Netherlands, Verstappen competes as a Dutch driver? And finally, we have Sophie Jocks, Ohio State Buckeyes, defenseman. Her height is 5'8". She was born October 16, 2000, in a hometown, Toronto, Canada. As a senior, Jocks led Ohio State to its first NCAA title with spectacular two-way play. She scored 21 goals, and her 59 points were 11 more than any other defenseman. And her solid blue line play helped the Buckeyes allow just 1.53 goals per game, the fourth lowest total in the NCAA. But did you know OSU is just the fifth school to win the women's Frozen Four since it was established in 2001? The others are Minnesota, 6, Wisconsin, 6, Minnesota, Duluth, 5, and Clarkson, 3. Warm-up, page 16, LOL, never heard of them. Professional sports, well, seem like one big club. Tom Brady hangs out with Cristiano Ronaldo after the Manchester United game. LeBron James throws tight spirals to Dallas Cowboys stars in pregame warm-ups. You can name every athlete who's ever lived. So surely everyone else can too, right? Especially other pros. But it's not so. Here are some of the funniest circumstances in which someone didn't recognize or couldn't name a star player. I'm an example of somebody who went against what their team thought was best for them and stood up for what they wanted. I mean, there was a baseball player who was the first guy to get a Tommy John. Jack Eichel, the Golden Knights star, arrived in Vegas after a falling out with his original team, the Buffalo Sabres, about what kind of neck surgery he should get. Eichel preferred a procedure to NHL player, procedure no NHL player had ever undergone. The Sabres ultimately blocked his ability to choose that operation, and he held out until he was traded to a team that would let him. Justifying his decision later, Eichel cited whomever was the first pitcher to get Tommy John surgery. We'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Johnny Tan, Ichiro Suzuki. The Seattle Mariners legend had a reputation for many things, including a unique stretching routine and a dry sense of humor. The former explains why Tom Brady asked Ichiro via text message for tips on keeping limber. The latter may explain why Ichiro asked his teammates upon receiving the text, "Who is Tom Brady?" with a bad word added for emphasis. 100-plus assists in an NHL season has been accomplished only 13 times, 11 times by this player. Poor Joe. Sometimes Jeopardy. Sometimes Jeopardy contestants skip questions that seem obvious to us, obsessive sports nerds. But jumping in with the wrong answer can be way funnier than admitting defeat. A contestant named Joe buzzed into the above answer with, "Who is Magic Johnson?" Before Diane gave the obvious correct response, some simple advice. If it's a hockey player, guess Gretzky. If it's an abstract Dutch painter, guess Mondrian. Kobe Bryant. Believe it or not, NBA legend Kobe Bryant spent much of his childhood in Italy, where his father played professional basketball there. His European upbringing led to his speaking fluent Italian and apparently having no idea who Michael Jordan was. To be clear, by the time Bryant was in American high school, MJ was winning rings. So he heard about him by then. Deion Sanders, after primetime, called Tyrann Mathieu the best safety in the game in 2018. Titans defensive back Kevin Byard took exception on Twitter. Sanders replied, "You're looking at who writers tell us who's the best. I know who players and former players feel is the best. You continue to be a fan, and I will continue to be the man." Let's hope Sanders genuinely confused Byard for a fan. Moving on to page 18, how the mighty. Some of sports' most hallowed records could be broken in the coming years. Others will become even less attainable. Here's who has a shot to rewrite the history books. The king takes the scoring crown. It's a matter of when, not if. LeBron James will break Kareem Abdul's record of 38,387 career points. Barring an injury, he will probably do it next season. That a Laker will be breaking another longtime Lakers record will only make the moment that much cooler. The NBA's all-time scoring title is a strange honor. How many younger fans knew that Karl Malone had sat in second place behind Abdul-Jabbar for more than 20 years until James overtook him this season? Yes, the point, no pun intended, of basketball is to score. But the unwieldy five-digit nature of the record makes it hard to remember and even harder to calculate James's distance. And the GOAT debate has never been LeBron versus Kareem. In some ways, it's like being Major League Baseball's career runs leader, Ricky Henderson, with 2,295. Bill James, the father of sabermetrics, once said of Henderson, "If you could split him in two, you'd have two Hall of Famers." LeBron James figured to split into at least 10. That's a picture here of the king. Strange picture here. He's all chiseled out and then lying on the ground with the basketball coming up from the dead. The great 895. The most impressive part of Alexander Ovechkin's potentially breaking Wayne Gretzky's mark of 894 career goals is how far away he is from every other Gretzky record. The great 8 isn't even halfway to the great one's 2,857 points, and he may soon be the NHL's active leader in the category. Gretzky's stranglehold on hockey's record books is a case of the sport's best player reaching his prime in a high offense area. NHL teams averaged 4.01 goals per game in 1981 and 1982, the season Gretzky had 92 goals and 120 assists. For most of Ovechkin's career, that average has hovered around 2.7. It's a testament to the captain's longevity that it's even thinkable he reached 895 career goals. Comparable goal scorers like Mike Bossy and Pavel Bure retired in their early 30s. Two factors work in Ovi's favor. The league is scoring more in general, up to 3.1.2 goals per game this season, and his wicked one-timer means he'll keep lighting the lamp even if his legs slow down. NFL regular season coaching wins. Take 'em to Shula. Patriots coach Bill Belichick has 31 playoff wins, 9 conference titles, and 6 Super Bowl rings, all record for NFL coaches. But in the regular season win column, Belichick, 290 victories, trails Bears legend George Halas, 318, Don Shula, 328. Halas coached until age 72. Shula retired at 66. Belichick will be 70 this season, but you wouldn't know it watching him. Something about the sleeveless hoodie makes him seem young. Assuming the Mac Jones era goes well, it should take Belichick about 3.5 seasons to be the new boss of bosses. Or he could retire as the GOAT before then. No other active coach is even close to his numbers. Andy Reid is second with 233 wins. NFL career yards in the long run. Like pitching in baseball, NFL rushing attacks have changed so much that certain records seem unbreakable. Teams pass more than ever. Still, a handful of modern running backs, including Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson, have come near Eric Dickerson's single-season 2,105 mark. Emmitt Smith's 18,355 career yards, however, seem farther away than an end zone from the opposite one-yard line. Even Peterson remains over 3,000 yards short. Smith himself has singled out Tennessee's Derrick Henry as one player who could challenge his record. With 11,558 yards to go and already 28 years old, Henry would probably have to play well into his late 30s. If he rattles off a couple more 2,000-yard seasons, however, we can reassess his chances. United States Women's National Tennis Goals. Alexander the Great. The United States Women's National Soccer Team functions like any other American sports dynasty, perpetuating itself by handing down responsibility from one generation of superstars to the next. Abby Wambach led the United States Women's Team to 3 straight Olympic golds. Her 184 goals are the most among United States players. Alex Morgan is the active goals leader for the United States with 115. It's doubtful she'll get enough caps to challenge Wambach. However, she didn't play for the United States in this year's She Believes Cup. When asked about the absence of her and her other veterans, Coach Vlatko Adnoski said, "There's a reason Mia Hamm is not in camp," suggesting the team is focusing on a youth movement. Major League Baseball strikeouts, chasing the Ryan Express. It's an unstoppable force approaching an unbreakable object. Strikeout totals are increasing, but so are injuries for pitchers. Will anyone have the durability to challenge Nolan Ryan's 5,714 punchouts? Lately, Max Scherzer has been striking out more hitters on a per-inning basis than Ryan ever did, but he's barely more than 50% of the way to the record. More likely, Reggie Jackson's hitter record of 2,597 Ks falls first. NBA career threes, tortoise and the facial hair. It would be the ultimate tortoise and hair story. Stephen Curry shattered Ray Allen's career 3-point field goal record, 2,973 this season. He could easily reach 4,000, even 5,000 trays in his career. He's the only player in history to hit 400 in a season. But James Harden ranks third all time with 2,593 threes. He's more than a year younger than Curry, and with no NBA titles under his belt, might have the motivation to keep going after Curry's decided he's accomplished enough. Also working in Harden's favor is his durability. Curry has already missed most of two seasons in his career with different injuries. Harden has played in 115 more games than Curry, despite their debuting in the same year. Now, the good news for Curry fans, Harden's three-point attempts are way down, 6.7 per game in Philly. From his Houston days, 13.2 per game in 2018-2019. As long as Steph Curry plays basketball, he figured to have 10-plus drives from behind the line in most games. Now, I have pictures here on pages 22 and 23. We have a stadium. We look inside the stadium. It says London. And then it says outside the stadium, "Welcome to the jungle." In the middle of the stadium is a lion for the logo. And then what if teams merged? Crummy teams will do anything to get better, including getting worse. And though tanking has become popular, there are other options. An owner with deep pockets can try to spend their team out of obscurity, or an executive might target their organization's culture. Really, fixing a team is no different than fixing any kind of business. So why don't owners use one of the classic strategies for growing a company? Buying another. Why don't franchises ever merge? Believe it or not, it has happened before. During World War II, when players left to fight overseas, NFL teams merged as a matter of survival. In 1943, the Eagles and Steelers combined to form the Steagles, not their official name. Then in 1944, the Steelers teamed up with the Cardinals as the Carpets. Carpet, get it? Two struggling NHL franchises, the Cleveland Barons and Minnesota North Stars, merged before the 1978-79 season. Two seasons later, the Frankenton team would reach the Stanley Cup Finals and lives on today as the Dallas Stars. What if there are impediments to the modern merger? Rival pro leagues with easily acquired teams are less common, though the USFL and XFL plan to return soon. And even if two organizations were daring enough to try it, there would sure to be objections from fans and rival owners. Instead of fixating on why it won't happen, however, let's imagine if it could. Which teams would benefit from a mashup? And would anyone ever top the name Steagles? The London Jungle Cats. The idea of moving the Jaguars to London has been kicked around for years. Every season, Jacksonville plays a game at Wembley Stadium as if to prepare the British fan for the possibility. But after 8 games in the UK, the Jags remain in Florida, where attendance figures are poor. The Lions have similar issues drawing fans, and the problem may become permanent. Detroit is one of the fastest shrinking cities in the United States. The fit makes sense on the field. The Lions have some exciting young weapons on offense in Amon-Ra St. Brown, T.J. Hockenson, and DeAndre Swift, but no franchise quarterback to get them the ball. They won't find a better passer in the draft than Trevor Lawrence. The plan is simple. The Jaguars contribute Lawrence and a map of London. The Lions bring everything else, including their classic silhouette logo. The teams combine their gold and silver color schemes to commemorate the serious coin, or quid, as the Brits say, they'll be making soon. The New York Rats. Is it ironic that the Rays have a reputation as one best-run teams in baseball, despite their lack of resources? Or was it inevitable? Maybe spending less forced them to create a great front office because they have no margin for error. Either way, their success is undeniable. From 2008 to 2021, Tampa Bay had a .545 winning percentage. In that same span, the Mets' record was just .487. But new owner Steve Cohen has spared no expense in remaking his team into a true crosstown rival for the Yankees. You see where I'm going with this? Why spend $250 million on player payroll trying to copy Tampa when the entire Rays franchise is only worth around $1 billion itself? So buy the Rays and bring all their brilliant statisticians and their always fertile farm system into the Mets organization. The Mets' blue and orange color scheme is an amalgamation of its National League NYC predecessors, the Giants and Dodgers. This time, they combined four-letter names to make the Rats. The popularity of these off-malign rodents has never been higher, thanks to charismatic subway dwellers like the viral Pizza Rat and Master Splinter. And in sports, rat is almost always used as a compliment. Gym rat, rink rat, etc. The rest of the league will hate them for making a super team, but they'll own it. Rats don't care what people think of them. The Wherever Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets moved to New Orleans in 2002, but were technically designated as an expansion team. So Charlotte, which no longer had any players, retained its record and history as the Hornets. But not the Hornets' name. The city wouldn't have a team again until 2004, when the Bobcats were born. Then the original Hornets changed their name to the Pelicans, so the Bobcats could become the new Charlotte Hornets while also somehow already being the old Hornets. Are you confused? So am I. So, let's make it even more confusing. Let's really combine the old Hornets and the new Hornets into a single franchise. Now the record books will show that the Hornets played two different sets of games in two different cities from 2004 to 2013, which is already kind of the case. In addition to both simplifying and confusing the franchise history, the merger makes basketball sense. Charlotte's crown jewel is LaMelo Ball. New Orleans has Zion Williamson and is desperate to build around him. The Hornets can bring the guards Ball and Terry Rozier, while New Orleans can provide the size Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and Jonas Valanciunas. That's a starting five as good as any in Hornets history. Whoever is claiming it these days. Your team name here. Before I start combining NHL teams, I think I've done enough to anger fans in Florida, Michigan, and Louisiana. I try never to have more than three states mad at me at one time. So, if you'd like to take some of the heat off me, submit your merger team idea to Art Gallery or Kip. You know our email addresses. And now for our poster board. We have Colorado Avalanche defenseman Cale Makar. The fast facts on him: 2 years after winning the Calder Trophy as the NHL's top rookie, Makar had arguably the best offensive season by a blue liner in franchise history. His 24th goal of the season on a quick wrist shot against the Flyers on March 25th broke the 25-year-old team record. Makar scored his 100th career point in October in just his 108th game, making him the sixth fastest defenseman to reach that milestone. And next we have Mr. Ja Morant, Memphis Grizzlies guard, point guard. Some fast facts about him. In his third season, Morant elevated his game to a new level. He averaged 27.4 points per game, up from 19.1 last season, and was named to his first All-Star team. Morant put up the first 50-point game in Grizzlies history when he scored 52 points on just 30 shots in a win over the Spurs on February 28th. He was the second pick in the 2019 NBA draft. All right, let's find out about some adventures from the Treehouse Kids. Sport holes. Well, we've almost come up with 100 summer fun ideas. 68 raised paper airplanes. 70 write a letter to Kip, and Kip definitely suggested that one. You got any wit? Well, we originally developed this technology as a means to deliver issues, but we soon realized the applications were limitless. Funny you should ask. The science department has been working on something even more fun than a paper airplane race. Meet me on the rope bridge. Is it a flying bike? I hope it's a flying bike. Even better, it totally eliminates the need for any kind of ground transportation while simultaneously making every sport twice as interesting. Portals. You've invented portals. No, my little blonde friend. We've invented... Tush! Slam! Scores and slam through the basket. Strike! Whoop! And out! Whiff! Whiff! Looks like dodgeball here. Doesn't the existence of this technology have massive implications for human progress in a number of key policy areas, including immigration, warfare, and energy? It also lets you go upper 90 in both corners on the net. Speaking of world peace, check out how it keeps Kip out of our hair. LeBron has no future on the Lakers. They just need to retool in free agency this offseason. That's absurd. LeBron is the Lakers. They just need to retool in free agency this offseason. What does this one do? Send Kip to his room for a timeout? Wait, Buzz, don't go through that one. Oh, no. Ah! He's faced with the big dinosaur. Hey, where'd everyone go? Oh! We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.